go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the inconvenience of convenience. The inconvenience of convenience. Father, I pray that you'll bless our time in your word this morning. Thank you for your book. Thank you for all that's been recorded for our benefit and blessing. But God, even though it's in the book, and even though we've gathered here today, we will be here in vain unless your Spirit comes to help us. So fill us with your power, both speaker and listener. May the Holy Ghost have his way in our hearts this morning. We didn't come here for an appearance. We didn't come here, Lord, to just out of obligation. We came here because we need and we want to hear from you. Help me today. Help us all, I pray in Christ's name and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Is it possible for decisions and choices we make to affect those who come after us? Well, yes, it definitely is possible for us to affect those who follow immediately in our footsteps. We understand that. But is it possible for that effect to linger for many years, even generations? It was with one man in the nation of Israel's history, and we read about him a moment ago, King Jeroboam. Now, let me give you the setting here. Jeroboam was the first king of Israel after the kingdom split into north and south. You remember that, okay? Solomon dies, Rehoboam is made king, but they rebel, the 10 tribes rebel away from him, and the northern kingdom retained the name of Israel. The southern kingdom was called Judah. Jerusalem, the capital of the whole nation of Israel, was located in the southern kingdom, and it was the designated place of worship for all Israelites, okay? So here we are. We've got a split kingdom, north and south. Jeroboam reigning over 10 tribes. Rehoboam reigning over 2. And Jeroboam gets thinking to himself. Verse 26 and 27. I won't reread these verses here. But the Bible says he said in his heart. That means he was thinking to himself, all right? And thinking to himself, he knew. He said, you know what? My goodness, he said, I got this kingdom here, 10 tribes, but the people are going to have to go down to Jerusalem in the southern kingdom to offer their sacrifices to Jehovah God. And if they keep going down to Jerusalem to offer their sacrifices to God, I'm concerned that their heart is going to follow them. Jerusalem was a beautiful city, beautiful for situation. That's about Jerusalem, the joy of the whole earth. Talking about the city of Jerusalem. Beautiful city, the way it's geographically located. And then you've got the magnificent Temple of Solomon was there. I mean, made out of gold. Absolutely beautiful. And more than all of that, it was the city of David. And David was their beloved former king. They loved David. He was an icon. He was a hero, the great killer of Goliath, if you will. And so Jeroboam's thinking about all this. Man, the people keep going down to Jerusalem to sacrifice. They're going to see the temple. They're going to think of David. They're going to be down there. You know what? I'm just kind of uncertain about their loyalty. I'm uncertain about their love for me and this, what I've got going on here. And so he got in verses 28, 29, he comes up with a plan. He makes two idols. Cows, idols of gold. It puts one in the city of Bethel, puts one in the city of Dan. Both of those cities were located inside the boundaries of the northern kingdom. And he tells the people, look, that's where you need to go to worship. That's where you need to go to sacrifice. Go to Bethel, go to Dan, whichever is the one closest to you. He even went so far as to tell them, he credited the exodus from Egypt to the power of those golden calves. Can you imagine that? It took God's power to get his people out of the land of Egypt. not the power of some idols that can't hear, can't see, can't decide anything, or lifeless. It took the power of a living God to bring his people out. And so he's lost his mind. It's all because he's selfish. Well, selfish. And he made these two idols. Now, you know, one thing that we get really tired of as Americans is when our government tries to portray something that will work against us as being something that will work for us. They come up with these fancy names that suggest, you know, a bill will benefit our country, when in reality, the bill leads to more confusion and to more chaos. We got that going on right now with this definition of marriage thing. And it's being presented as something that will be good for America. It is chaos and confusion. It's out of hell. That's where it's from. Okay? And it happens all the time. We get sick of it. And this is what Jeroboam did to the people. He bamboozled them. He tried to portray something that would work against them as something that would work for him. And you know his reason? Verse 28. It is too much. It's too much. Too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. It's asking too much of you to go all the way to Jerusalem to offer your sacrifices. Time out. That's what they've been doing for years. For years. But now it's too much. All of a sudden, it's too much. It's asking too much. Oh, my, think of it, man. Come on, the wear and tear on your bodies. And to make the trip with those little children and with the price of gas these days, that's kind of current, okay? How can you afford it? And we have beautiful cities, so much easier to get to. And you know you can offer the same sacrifices in those places as you can in Jerusalem. And it will save you time and money and effort. Look, I'm for you. I really want the best for you. I want to make it as convenient as possible. Sounds good, right? Verse 30, this thing became a sin. It became a sin. And this sin continued to influence and affect the worship of the Israelites for decades. Now, I want to show you something by way of illustration here this morning. It's going to take you just a couple of seconds to get this all together. And I haven't pre-planned it or anything. I have nothing worked out ahead of time. But I think we can get it done. So I'm looking at a lot of guys up here in the front rows. If you are sitting in the first two or three rows, and you're a young man, I need 19 of you. 19, okay? So come on, boy. Brother Jack, send all those guys up here. And come on up, boys. Come on up. I need you guys. How many does that give us here? Spread out across the front here, okay? All across the front, single file line. Some of you are going to have to go that way, go that way. How many we got? So we got 19. We got anything close to 19. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Come on up, guys. Come on up. All right, we'll stop right here. How many we got? 1, 2. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Is that right? Did I count right? I need a Jeroboam. Carson, you're Jeroboam. You are the bad apple. Come on up here, bud. Okay. Now, I want you to look at this. Because this is what happened. From Jeroboam to Trace is 225 years. 18 kings followed King Jeroboam. And the Bible says about each one of these 18 kings in the 225 years that they reigned over the kingdom of Israel, that every one of them was influenced and affected by the sins of this man. That's all right. You get ice cream at my house. You can handle this, okay? Folks, I don't know. Get a mental picture of this. Get a mental picture of this. You're telling me the actions of this one man influenced this whole country for 225 years? You know what you'll find in the Old Testament? You guys, can you guys just hang with? By the way, pretty good group of guys, good-looking guys here, except for two or three. But, you know, man, you figure out which two or three it is there, okay? Listen, the phrase, the sins of Jeroboam. That phrase, the sins of Jeroboam, is mentioned word for word 14 times in the Bible. Other references to Jeroboam's sin are made several other times, and it's called sins because there is more than one thing that Jeroboam did, and that's why the word sins is used, the sins, plural, of Jeroboam. But the original sin, the original mistake that he made, the original sin, took place when he said to the Israelites, "It's too much. It's inconvenient for you to do what God told you to do." Brother, if there's anything I ever want to do as a preacher, is to tell people that it's too inconvenient to do what God tells us to do. I'm trying to make it more convenient for you. And for 225 years, the nation of Israel experienced the judgment of God. Only one out of the 18 kings that followed Jeroboam was even part good. That's Jehu. And he was more, but the Bible says about Jehu that in spite of all the good that he did, he never departed from the sins of Jeroboam. And guess what happened? At the end of the 225 years of Jeroboam's influence, the whole nation was carried away into captivity by the Assyrians. That doesn't sound very convenient to me. The inconvenience of convenience. And you realize, folks, that it is possible. I mean, would you get this far removed from this man? Everything was in order. The whole nation was traveling to Jerusalem prior to Jeroboam's calves and prior to his convenience. The whole nation was used to going to Jerusalem. But do you realize by the time you get down here, that's so far removed from what once was, they don't even realize it. They didn't know what's going on. It's nothing like what it was at the beginning. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it. Y'all can have a seat and go back to sleep. All right? Very good. All right. Here we go. Thank you very much. Now, you know the same is true today. You find a family, make a visit, talk to somebody, invite them to church. It's obvious that their lifestyle is one that consists without much thought of God. You know what I'm saying? You okay with that? Things are going on that just really aren't anywhere close to God. And you follow, if you could follow their ancestry back through time, you might eventually come to a point in time where their ancestors were dedicated, faithful, sold out people of God. They may not even know it. They may have no recognition of it. No knowledge whatsoever. There was a time in their family tree's past when they were dedicated servants of God, holy, separated unto the Lord. What happened between this point in time and however many years later to this point in time? I'll tell you what happened. Somewhere along the line, somebody made a decision based on convenience. You know, really, that's a little bit much. That's a little too much. That's a little over the top. I mean, you know, we need to believe in God and all of that. We need to have some respect for the Bible. But to really have the Bible tell us how to live our lives, that's a little... It's a convenient change, something portrayed as convenience takes place in the family pedigree. And all of a sudden, when you get some years down the road, you can't even recognize that there was ever a godly influence on the family. That's what happened in Jeroboam's day. Too much. I'll make it convenient for you. I'll make it convenient for you. Let's go to one service on Sunday, one service a week. It's kind of too much, folks. Isn't it kind of too much to come all day? Just a little much, over the top. I mean, we can worship God. I want to tell you something. If you don't see with your eyeballs that this is going on in our country today, now what can we learn from this? Here we go. We cannot know the length. Number one, we cannot know the length of the influence of one choice. You hear me? We cannot know the length of the influence of one choice. Can a family, can a church be affected for years by the decisions and choices of one person? Obviously they can. It can. There is such a thing as generational sins. Sins that are passed down through a family tree for years. Sins that are not repented of. Sins that get stronger and stronger. A stronger and stronger grip on people over the course of time. In fact, if you want to just get proof of this yourself, okay, if what I'm saying, you know, is you need a little bit more proof, then this week, just read 1 Corinthians 12. First, I told you the mind is almost back, but not quite, okay? Read 1 Kings 12 through 2 Kings 17. Just read it. Just read 1 Kings 12 through 2 Kings 17. 1 Kings 12 is where Jeroboam made the change for convenience sake. 2 Kings 17 is where they went into captivity 225 years later. Just read what happened. You know what you're going to find in your Bible? You're going to find that things got worse and worse and worse, and convenience didn't make things better. Convenience made things worse. It was one thing after the sins of Jeroboam took on greater consequences the longer they were followed. Yeah, they had that little slight bump of good under Jehu, but it didn't last long. The overall pattern was one of down, 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 down. The inconvenience of convenience only picked up steam as the nation barreled downhill. I've used the illustration before. You know, back when we used to travel to Georgia every year to see family, which we don't do anymore. But we always traveled downstate, you know, and then go through 24 into Nashville and Murfreesboro on the road to Chattanooga. Between Nashville, between Murfreesboro and Chattanooga, you had to go over Mont Eagle. Had to go up the tall Mont Eagle, then down the other side. And they, as you go down the mountain, it's steeper going south than it is coming back up north. And so you go down, and you know, they tell you 5-6% grade. By the way, I wore some brakes out on a vehicle because I didn't use my head going down there, because you're picking up speed going downhill. And they have those runaway truck ramps. And literally, we've seen trucks, tractor trailers, buried up to their axles in the sand and the dirt that those runaway truck ramps are made out of, because they got to going too fast downhill and they were losing control. And so they take those ramps and they get buried in the dirt. And that's because you go down, you pick up speed, pick up speed, pick up speed, pick up speed. And that is, once a choice is made for convenience sake, there is no guarantee you will ever reverse course. None. That's what some people actually do. They make a decision based on convenience, thinking to themselves, it's only going to last a little time. Like Elimelech taking his family to Moab. We're just going to sojourn down there. Well, guess what the sojourn, the little time turned into? 10 years. And all kinds of trouble and sorrow for them. You got to be careful about making choices for God based on convenience sake. Things get tight because of the cost of living, and the price of things go up, 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 up. And I've got to take care of this, and I got to take care of this, and I got to feed my pets. And so the convenient thing is to stop tithing because, hey, the church has money. Let me tell you about tithing. It has nothing to do with the church having money. It has everything to do with you and me being obedient. It has nothing to do with the church having money. And by the way, you may have a hard time reversing course once you get started. Because all of a sudden you got a place for all the money except for what belongs to God. Then you're in trouble. Folks, listen. It's true. Look, I'm not saying this morning that the guy at the end of the line here has no personal responsibility. Of course he has personal responsibility. And the Israelites had personal responsibility for the choices they made. They could not blame their choices on Jeroboam and get by. Okay, God says, okay, I'm letting you skate because really you had no choice in the matter. You were influenced by Jeroboam. I'm going to nail him and let you go. That's not how it works. Because God sent them prophets. He sent them prophets, and the prophets preached, and they heard the message of God. And they could have turned back to the God of Israel, but they didn't listen, and that was their personal choice. But you understand that one man started the whole nation on a slippery course. And once you start down that slippery course, you may not get it back. Yeah, things have changed around here by way of an auditorium, by way of a remodel, by way of this and by way of that. But the ministries, the beliefs of this church have not changed, and expectations of those, they're not going to change. And by the way, since I'm back, I want to remind all the teenage boys that song time is not visiting time. Never has been. It's been about singing. And what a disrespect to God Almighty during Great Is Thy Faithfulness. When you open your mouth, you talk to each other the whole time we're singing about the faithfulness of God. So why would you say that this morning? Because I've always said it. Been saying it for 32 years. And I'm not going to change. And make it convenient. You want to come in with your Starbucks and just flop back and let everybody else worship God? There's a lot of places you'll feel right at home. But we didn't come here to do that. We came here to sing. Great is thy faithfulness. And you little sawed off young people aren't going to show yourself in here and get away with it. We're not changing. So that makes me uncomfortable. I'm very comfortable. Say, well, I wouldn't do that if I was a pastor. When you become a pastor, don't do it. What's your opinion? We come and sing praises to God. Kids talk all the way through the whole song. Is that what you want? It's not what I want, folks. See, here's the thing. And by the way, I had no idea that was going to happen, but it fit in so good with the message this morning. I just thought, wow, man. Because, you know, you let something like that go and just say, it won't take 225 years, folks. It won't take 20 years. And this place won't resemble anything like what it is today. Nothing like this. Man, I didn't mean to be this. I was supposed to come home and say, man, I love you guys. I missed you guys. This is just God put this message on my heart when I was reading the Bible over in Madagascar. Blame it on Madagascar. That's what it is. Amen. I'm finally somewhere where I hear English again and can drink water. Not out of a bottle. So you say you're being cocky. I'm not being cocky. Let me tell you something. There is no place on earth, spiritually speaking, that I love more than this place right here. I don't want to see it go to the dogs. Amen. For the sake of convenience. For the sake of convenience. I don't want to do that. We cannot control the length of the influence of our choices. Can't control that. Do you think Jeroboam knew when he made this change in the worship of the nation of Israel for convenience sake that God would point to that as a reference for 225 years? But that's what happened. And God put this story in this book for us to learn from. You cannot know the length of one choice. I can't know it. Number two, convenient choices are usually based on ease. Convenient choices are usually based on ease. Jeroboam enticed the people of the northern kingdom with the choice of ease. To worship and sacrifice in Dan or Bethel would be much easier than traveling to Jerusalem. Watch this. They could do less and accomplish the same thing that would require more. Well, they could offer sacrifices, they could sing, they could go through the motions of worship in Dan or Bethel. One problem. They couldn't obey God in Bethel or Dan, because Jerusalem was the place. Take your pen. Sometime go to the book of Deuteronomy and Numbers and read through and circle every time God talked about the place. The place, 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 the appointed place of worship. The appointed place is Jerusalem. So you can go to Dan and Bethel, you can go through all the motions, but you can't obey God there. And do you remember what Samuel had told King Saul years before this? Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? The greatest blessing, the greatest pleasure God takes from you and me is our obedience. That's the greatest pleasure He takes. And we can try to substitute all these other things to do it our way because it's a lot more convenient. But if it's not an obedience to God's word, He takes no delight in it. Then He told him, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. People, you know, commitment to Christ is, I'm going to say it flat out this morning. Listen very carefully in case you're sitting here wondering, you know, I don't know about all this. Commitment to Christ is not the easiest road to take. Where did we get that idea? That we're supposed to follow Christ in this current world and it's supposed to be easy? In Luke chapter 14, we don't have time to turn there. The Bible says that great multitudes went with Jesus. Stop. Isn't that what every pastor would love to have? Multitudes? Well, Jesus has it. He's got multitudes following Him. Multitudes. And so He turns to them, this great crowd of people, and He says, hey, folks, look, I'm going to make this as easy as possible for each one of you. Is that what He said? No. Whoop, time out, pause. That's a great group of people here. But I want you to understand something. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to love me more than dad, more than mom, more than wife, more than children, more than brothers, more than sisters, and more than your own life. Think he cut the crowd a little bit? And if that wasn't enough, then He said, and you're going to have to bear your cross, you're going to have to die to some things that you enjoy in this life. Jesus was clear that following Him was not taking the easiest road in life. And I want to serve it to you on plain platter this morning that following Christ in 2022 and beyond is not going to be convenient. Not going to be. Bottom line. But is He worth it? Is dedication to Christ too much to ask? Is separation from the world to Jesus too much to ask? Is commitment to serving Christ at His church too much to ask? Is it? Is that too much, folks? Well, you know, before you make a decision, maybe you need to close your eyes and in your mind get a mental picture of the person of Jesus Christ who still has the marks of the thorns in his brow. And he still has the wounds in his hands where he hung on the cross and died for our salvation. And he still has the hole, the wound of the hole in his side where the spear went in and the blood and water came out and the holes in his feet. He still bears the marks of the crucifixion in his body. You say, how in the world do you know that? Because the Bible says when he comes again, they will see the wounds. A wound is a different than a scar. A scar means it's healed over. A wound means it's still open. They'll see the wounds. So before you and I decide, you know, 2022, you know, culture's changed and, you know, this is not the 1950s. Thank you. I wrote my tithe check out yesterday. I had to stop for about that long to remember it's not 1950. It's not the same as it was back then. No, things have changed. The truth of the matter is, the culture of our country is far less influenced by the Word of God than it was back then. I read, don't know if it's true or not, because everything you read is not always true. But I read where one party now has a slight edge percentage-wise over the other party because they've decided that abortion is a bigger issue to them than the economy. So killing babies, the right to do that, is more important than paying $5.50 for gas. You know, I'm going to be unwise for a moment. Some of you may think, for a moment, you've already been unwise for 30 minutes. But I don't think so if you read that book. I think, and by the way, there are people that read that book and God starts speaking to their hearts, starts working in their hearts. They're coming to what I preached this morning. Not through my preaching, through the work of the Spirit of God in their heart. I'm going to be unwise for a moment. It's not wise for a pastor to visit a third world country and then come home and make comparisons between there and home. But I'm going to walk the thin ice. When you put your eyes on the effort and the difficulty that people in those countries go through to be in their church services, I'm sorry, but it makes it hard to come back to America and listen to the excuses why I can't be faithful to church. I'm serious as a heart attack. They walk for an hour. They take buses. I may have gotten a picture of them. Smashed full of people with a person on the back standing there with the door never closed. They stop and people pour out and people pour in. And some folks will ride on the bus for an hour and a half. You know what I read in Jeremiah? I'm done. I read in Jeremiah the other day where God told the Israelites, listen, he said, I have fed you to the full. And the more I've done for you, the less you've done for me. You've got to be kidding me. And I submit to you that if there's any group of God's people on planet Earth that ought to be willing to go through some inconvenience to be faithful to their God, it's us. Because we're full. Come on now. We're full. You can turn your faucet on this afternoon, pour your big old glass of water and drink it. Yeah, you're full. You know, I'm thankful that Jesus did not look for the convenient road when he came to earth. It was not convenient to go through all that he went through so you and I could be saved. It was not convenient for him to have his body massacred, mutilated. It wasn't convenient for him to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. It wasn't convenient for him when his father turned his back on him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? None of that was very convenient. But I'm sure thankful he was willing to be inconvenienced so you and I could have the hope of heaven. So church, just want to challenge us this morning. Let's not look for the convenient road. Don't look for the convenient path. Because sometimes the convenient turns out to be real inconvenient. Real inconvenient. It's called the inconvenience of convenience. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I know sometimes it just comes right at us and it's like, whoa. And I pray your spirit will, Lord, take truth and do with it what you will this morning in our hearts. Father, I don't want to make choices based on convenience that end up being very inconvenient. I don't want to do that personally. I don't want to do that corporately as a church. Help us to examine our lives this morning. Take a look, real, real honest and hard look. And Lord, see if we have swapped or changed some things for convenience sake. And God, call us back to you. Help us not to fear the difficult road. Help us not to fear the inconvenient path, because our Savior didn't. Speak to our hearts today, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to say, Brother Angel, somewhere throughout the course of the message this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, either resonating with me that what I've been doing is right, I don't need to change, or man, it kind of hit me between the eyes. There's some things I better sharpen up on. I don't want to go down the road of convenience only to find out that it's inconvenient. So pray for me this morning. I see your hand slipping up wherever you're sitting this morning. Be honest before God. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. There's somebody else, Pastor. I should have raised my hand. I kind of resisted, but I should have raised my hand just then. I want to get in on acknowledging that. Somebody anywhere here this morning, God spoke to me about something. Is anybody here this morning? You say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I've heard of Jesus. I know that he came to the earth. I know that he died. I know that he was buried and rose again. I don't understand how to assimilate it all, to understand it all, to embrace it, to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I do not know that. Could I see your hand this morning so I can just pray that God will help you? That's all I want to do. Just pray that God will help you. Anybody in the crowd this morning? Anybody, if you've been saved, not baptized since you've been saved, you ought to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism this morning. And take that decision, take that road, and follow the Lord Jesus. Let's not be looking for convenience. It can be a disaster. May God help us this morning. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The piano begins the song of invitation. You obey the Lord today. Many hands are in the air. It's called the inconvenience of convenience, folks. We don't dare go down that path. Don't dare go down that road. We don't dare. We don't dare. Dads, think about it, dads, for your home, your family. Don't make choices based on what seems to be convenient, because that might come back to bite you. It's called the inconvenience of convenience. Be a very inconvenient thing. Don't change. Stay on the right path. Stay on the right course. You love the Lord enough to follow Him, even though it's not convenient. Sometimes it's not. But our love for Him drives us to dedication and commitment. Look over your life, examine it, let the Holy Spirit have His way. Let Him put His finger on what needs to be helped or fixed today. Don't resist His work. If you need to be saved, we have fellows that can take a Bible. Men show you how to be saved. Ladies, and ladies that can do that. So you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven someday. Greatest decision you'll ever know or make in this life. It's a little convenient to walk down the aisle of a church and tell somebody, I'm not sure I'm saved. Yeah, but that has great results.